Today's episode is sponsored by the new e-commerce podcast, The E-Commerce Leader. The podcast is hosted by myself and Jason Miles, multi-million dollar Shopify owner and Udemy's highest rated e-commerce instructor. If you own a thriving online business and want to be the best leader you can, it's got your name on it. For free guides and mini courses on many e-commerce topics, go to theecommerceleader.com. In challenging times, our sponsor, FreightOS.com, makes the world of freight shipping logistics a little smoother. On FreightOS.com, you can compare, book, and manage your shipments in one place. Making providers compete for your business keeps service levels really high. And with reviews by fellow importers and clear performance tracking, you can ship with confidence. To get $100 towards your first shipment of $1,000 or more, just go to freightos.com/amazingfba and use the code FR8podcast to sign up. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, this is your host, Michael Veazey, and welcome back to Amazing FBA Podcast. Now, this was one of those podcasts that I wasn't sure whether to call it an Amazing FBA or 10K Collective Podcast. You probably could care less, but really, what's the difference? Well, I try and make 10K Collective Podcast more strategic level for 6, 7, and 8-figure Amazon sellers. So I guess by those rights, it should be a 10K Collective Podcast. Those tend to be interviews with experts, I guess. Here's what I want to talk about today. I'm going to call this the 10-figure tune-up. So I've noticed a pattern now amongst my clients over the last few years in the Amazon e-commerce space, and actually not just Amazon, sometimes they're on different marketplaces like bol.com in the Netherlands or other similar marketplaces. Could even be eBay, although that's rare for me. But here's what I've noticed, that between about $10,000 and $20,000 a month equivalent or euros, a lot of people have similar issues, and it's about getting your systems tuned up so that once you've got those in place, you can actually then expand on a solid basis rather than thrashing around. When you're beginning anything, you tend to sort of, quote, thrash around. And actually, there is a sort of screw around vigorously philosophy that Tom Peters used to talk about right back in the 90s, which if you're starting something is not a bad idea. If you try and get perfect, the perfect is the enemy of the good. When you're first starting out, you've got to try some stuff. Some works, some doesn't. But here's what I would say about when you're getting into six figures, so the $100,000 a year slash $10,000 a month, then really what you're looking at is setting you've got some kind of market traction, hopefully, and now you've got to refine things a little bit and above all systematize things so that you've got some clarity. It's not so much about now I'm going to go and systematize stuff and then sit on a beach drinking margaritas and looking at the sea in Thailand or something. No, it's not quite that stage yet, I'm afraid. But it's more a question of creating a solid base so you actually have some visibility of, like, how well are we actually doing? So if you count profit as doing well, as opposed to just revenue, which can often be making Amazon richer than you or any other marketplace for that matter, then the first thing you've got to do is assess where you're at. So let me just put this in big picture terms, and we're going to talk about this over sort of mini series of a few different episodes. So let me put this in big picture terms, and then we'll put it in a sort of mini series over the course of several episodes, I think. Three basic areas I think you need to do, and this is sort of macro to micro thinking, big picture to smaller, that I think you need to put in place. And then one particular system that I think in most cases is urgent and important, in other words, should be your top priority. The first thing I'm going to talk about today is the org chart and the overall structure of your organization. The second thing is financial functions, including but not limited to accounting. And the third area is stock management or inventory management, which is a critical skill and quite tricky area. So today I want to talk about the org chart. Now, what does the org chart mean? Organization chart is the obvious thing it stands for. Often what that's taken to mean is a set of roles that you create, which you then plug people into. So I guess for an HR department or our human resources department, then it is obviously a very important department to have. However, for most of us, having a full-on HR department is a separate thing in the beginning of a business, particularly around this kind of growth stage in its growth. That's probably a little bit over the top. But what I do think is important is to begin to sense a couple of things. First of all, to begin to work from the end. So begin with the end in mind, as Stephen Covey said. Now, famously, the great Tom Watson, who made IBM a giant back in the day. Hard to remember because it's so unfashionable as a company now. But back in the day, he made IBM a giant, and he was talking about this to somebody, and he said, listen, one of the reasons this happened is because I had the concept or the picture of how it would look when it was finished in my mind from the beginning. Now, I don't suggest that you spend months of your life doing strategic planning while your business burns to the ground because you're ignoring day-to-day operations, right? Please let me be clear about that. But I do think it's something that you need to visit and revisit and think about when you're planning at this kind of stage. Otherwise, you just kind of do stuff day-to-day and there's no kind of overall plan. There's no kind of structure that you're creating that leaves residual value. In other words, you're not really building a business if you see a business as a system of systems. Now, if we use the word system as opposed to the HR idea of roles, then it immediately makes you look at this a bit differently. And there is lots of different ways of looking at this, but I have found this helpful. My clients seem to find this helpful as well, which is to say, think in terms of functions rather than departments. Departments implies like a particular office full of a certain type of people doing a certain type of thing. Like you've got an accounting department, you've got an operations department, a marketing department. Instead, I think you need to think in terms, in even a small business, of functions. So you have operations functions, such as new product development, really critical, liaising with suppliers and ordering stuff, logistics, if you deal with that yourself. These are often going to be liaison sort of departments rather than in-house things for most of us. Amazon Marketplace Management or Bol or eBay or, you know, whatever it is, Walmart, those can often take a lot of work to manage. And of course, customer service, a classic kind of operations type thing. So whatever it is, these different departments have these functions. I think it's best to think of it as functions rather than departments, because a liver has a function in the body. It's not just an organ. It's not just a thing in a particular place in your body. It does a particular job. So it's part of the system of systems that is a physical body. And I think your business has systems that do a particular job that needs to talk to other systems. And that is functions thinking, which I think we can get in place right from the beginning, or almost at the beginning, not at the very beginning, it would be premature, but at this kind of stage where you're just beginning to kind of build a foundation. I think that's really helpful because you don't have to be hiring people. You don't have to be hiring anybody in order to still clarify the fact that you may be wearing the hat of chief marketing officer at one point and trying to get wonderful photos made for you. And then you're answering some customer service emails. So you're in the operations department. And then maybe you're looking at your figures and trying to work out if you made a profit this month and how much. And you're in the sort of accounting department. But the fact that it's one person, you at the start, probably, does not mean that those different functions don't exist. So I guess what I'm saying to you is that the first thing to do is to just map out those different functions. And I would just want to quickly go over what my view of the very basic functions you might want to consider in your business. And depending on how your business works and where your focus is it pure private label? Are you doing some wholesale stuff? If you've got a retail arbitrage wing, the different subdivisions and minutiae might be a bit different for each business. So these are just some starting points, not end points, let's put it that way. So I would say that the basics are CEO, COO. If you have just two business partners, one of you should be the chief executive officer or MD in the UK, managing director. The other one should be the COO or chief operating officer or whatever you want to call it, director of operations. Because it is really important to recognize there's a different mentality that goes with that and a different responsibility. CEO is really responsible for strategic direction setting in the business. Now, it'd be ridiculous for somebody to get paid to be purely a CEO for a tiny business that's doing, maybe it's a couple of $100,000 or euros a year in revenue, and maybe it's $20,000, $30,000 profit. That would not support a full-time CEO. Nevertheless, even if you spend 5 hours a week, even 5 hours a month thinking strategically, that is CEO work. And that is answering questions like, where is the marketplace going? Is e-commerce really blowing up? Was that just a blip this year due to COVID? Is that going to stick? If so, where do we need to position ourselves in that? Should we stay in the marketplaces? Do we need to open a Shopify store? If so, how are we going to finance that, et cetera, right? So those bigger picture questions that you should not and probably cannot if you're busy doing this, and you're probably doing this part-time on top of a day job at this stage as well. And that's probably a good thing because you need to keep bringing capital into the business. It's a difficult time in a business. This is of early stages. It's like a toddler learning to walk, falling over. It's tricky, but it can be done. And one of the things, nevertheless, you need to do is take some time to think strategically. That's CEO work, in my opinion. And it's a simplified version. And, you know, nevertheless, it's a way of thinking of it. Another way of putting it is strategic planning is a function, if you like. Then the operations is obviously where a lot of us are going to spend a huge amount of time. So the COO, Chief Operating Officer, needs to have a different mentality, less of a sort of visionary / out front leadership, and more getting into the detail and managing other people or systems or processes. And even if it's just you running your business, you're going to need to manage Amazon or other people or suppliers, or whatever. So you've got to manage those relationships, those systems, whether it means, you know, governmental systems where you literally fill in paperwork to get things imported, for example, or whether systems means computer systems on Amazon or on whatever else you use, other software systems, I should say. So the point is not, again, to be pretentious about this and say, oh, I'm only good at strategic thinking, I'm not going to do operations, I'm not going to get my hands dirty. I mean, your business will probably go broke if you do that. I'm not thinking that you should do that. And if it's a business partnership, you may agree to share out the dirty jobs between you. And I'm not saying that one person should sit back and play grand games when the business is tiny and the other person does all the hard work. That's not what I'm saying. But I do think it's really critical to assign a single person to be responsible for a single function. So if strategic planning is something you discuss between yourselves when you meet, that's great. But one of you, in my opinion, needs to be responsible for the final say-so on that. Because otherwise, everything is a joint decision and every decision takes 10 times as long as it should. My opinion, right now, there are different ways of working in business partnerships. But my suggestion from what I've seen in other people's businesses when it doesn't function so well, and my own as well, and I've probably been the person interfering and making it worse, just to be clear. But that doesn't change the fact that I think you need an org chart when it does come to the people. Talking about the functions then, we've talked about operations, we've talked about strategic direction, we've touched on the fact that obviously if you want to do a new initiative, it's often going to cost you money, and that implies the finances function. Now, I think this is commonly quite misunderstood, so we're going to revisit it in a second. We'll just talk about the easy win first. Chief Marketing Officer, everyone wants to think of themselves as that. That obviously includes things like being the brand manager, so the overall look and feel and customer avatar that a particular brand is after. And most people, by the way, don't put any sort of strategic thought into that. And at this stage, I would argue if you've got a few products that are doing quite well, then now is the time to look at those and try to expand on success and think, okay, who are we actually serving here? What is our business for? Photography, graphic design, all those things are obviously absolutely critical basics that we put into Amazon listings or, for that matter, Shopify, anywhere else. And then, of course, you might have some email marketing work going on, chatbots, social media, and you name it. There's a huge just plethora of stuff that we are advertised at all day. So I don't need to really give you an idea of what is digital marketing. But that is all very well, and most of us are naturally drawn to that. But I'm going to come back to the finances operational side, the financiers. But I'm going to come back to the finances function because that's less sexy often, or seen as more difficult, and maybe it is less sexy, I don't know. But a fact is that this is probably the number one thing that needs to be put on a solid basis at this kind of stage. I've worked with several people around this kind of revenue, this kind of stage of growth. And this is a common theme, which is why I'm bringing this up here, that what I call the 10K tune-up, if you will. So around the $10,000 to $20,000 a month mark. So first of all, finance is actually quite a big area. I would differentiate, for starters, between the accounting function and the finance function. Now, this is something I'm still learning about. I am not an expert in finance. I'm certainly not an accountant, nor do I play one on the internet, as my friend Jason Miles would say. But my understanding is this: the accounting function is there to make sure that it produces meaningful numbers, and the finance function is about interpreting those and making sense of them. And I guess at that point, then reporting back to the CEO for overall strategic direction. So if you want an example of what I mean in concrete terms, the accountant works with the bookkeeper to get your profit and loss statement for the year together, whether for tax purposes or for managerial purposes. We'll talk about the difference in that in future episodes. But once that's done, it's not much use having it if nobody then looks at it. And if you've done it for tax reasons, you've jumped through a lot of hoops, and then you give it to the tax person, and then it disappears into their system, and you never get any more learning from it. But the smart thing to do, I think, is to really sit down and analyze that and make sense of what the meaning and the trends are in your finances. I think that's really, really underdone, underused. It seemed like a danger point for most businesses because most people ignore it so much. But by the same token, if you want to think of it as more sexy, there's nothing more sexy than a competitive advantage that means you survive and thrive while your competition falls into the ground and disappears, right? And I do think if you can nail this whole finance side, that you're going to be so much better than other people at a similar stage of business than you. In my personal experience, it's very likely you will be, because most people mess this up. And you don't need to beat yourself up for messing it up. Just get on with the business of tidying it up. That's what I would say. Systematize this. So if accounting is about getting the books right and then finances are making sense of the books, then the first thing you got to do is the accounting. By the way, when it comes to making sense of books, a really great book, really reassuringly straightforward as well, is called Financial Intelligence for Entrepreneurs by Joe Knight and Karen Berman. It'll be in the show notes for this episode, which as ever will be at amazingfba.com/blog. And that's a really, really useful thing. Accounting then really has to consist of, I think, two sets of people. If you're talking about an org chart, one is an accountant, and you really, really, really should be hiring an accountant by now. If you haven't used one already, you absolutely must. And I don't think that's really negotiable if you're a serious business person. Doing it yourself without help, unless you're seriously experienced or you are actually an accountant by training, is just not a good plan. I can say that from experience as well. My own experience and that of my clients. So accounting actually consists of three different areas, I would say, at least: tax accounting, managerial accounting, and then projected accounting. And we're going to talk about those in more detail. But broadly speaking, you're going to need to have at least three people involved in the process. One is an external accountant, who's probably a tax accountant and will probably help you with the other stuff. So tax being corporation tax and or VAT, depending on your jurisdiction and how that all works. And then a bookkeeper is just, it may be you to start with, but that might be something you want to get off your desk as soon as you can, which is the person that does the day-to-day entering of each transaction, gets entered into a chart of accounts. And if you don't know what that is, we'll be getting into that as well in the next episode or so in this mini-series. But broadly speaking, we just got to know that accounting is an area you have to get some clarity. I really, really, really strongly think you should get some professional help there. If you want a recommendation from me, that would be Alison Walker of Mint Accounting. She's based in Scotland, so this is for sort of UK-based people. If you're based in the USA, I don't have any good accountants to recommend right now, but that's something I should correct. By all means, if you want to come to the Facebook group and let us know your thoughts about who's a really great accountant for e-commerce, that would be really wonderful. So come to amazingfba.com/FB, F as in face, B as in book. So the last thing I would say is, just to recap about the org chart, I think you need one. And I think you should start creating one now without, as I say, falling into the trap of fantasy business building while the reality is a heaped smoking ruins, while the rest of it is a heap of smoking ruins that isn't functioning. You must be in operations most of the time at this stage of business building, and that's normal and necessary. But equally, I think you've got to take the extra bit of time, maybe in a mastermind once a month, maybe in a coaching call once a week, whatever your rhythm is, or maybe it's you and your business partner get together once a week, and you maybe spend, you know, just a couple of hours a week on strategy, and maybe it's 1 hour a month or something. That's probably about the right ratio. But it's got to be done, I would say. And if you're going to chart out your org chart, there's a very, very good program called Lucid Chart, which is free for up to, I think, four charts of quite a lot of complexity. It comes with nice little templates as well. Lucid Chart is a very useful piece of kit for that as well. So just to wrap this up, let me just recap what we've covered today. So the systems that tend to be messy or non-existent: org chart, overall thinking in terms of functions, the financial function particularly, and the stock management function as well. Those, we're going to talk about the financials and stock management in future, but I would say that generally speaking, just trying to map out your understanding at this point in your abilities and your understanding of how you think your organization should be structured as a system of systems is really important work. Now, this is not an overnight piece of work. It's the sort of thing you need to be very thoughtful and educate yourself about. It can be very, very helpful to go through it with a coach, like I'm going through with some of my clients now. It can be very important to go through with an accountant. And it's the sort of thing where you can talk about it in a mastermind. The actual truth is that although I've run masterminds for advanced sellers for about 3 years, we haven't probably spent enough time talking about this because people are very focused on the operations side. And I think that's perfectly fine. But I also think that the time has come for me to more consciously recognize the patterns of behavior, if you like, that serve and don't serve my clients, and to try and give some structure to the processes that I think on the big picture scale are going to help them to grow to the next level. And I really am a believer in this stuff. So I hope this helps. This is going to be, by its nature, quite sort of general, 60,000, maybe it's 30,000, 20,000 foot view. There is a lot of detail that goes into this. In the end, there is no substitute for hiring professionals. Last couple of things I would say, if you would find it helpful to go over things with me, I've obviously done this quite a lot now. As you can tell, I've put a lot of thought into this and learnt from my clients' experiences. Then do get in touch. We've got a mentoring program, which I am less and less inclined to take on people who are brand new to e-commerce because it's a very challenging thing to start a private label or custom-made product business these days. Absolutely can be done. It's absolutely a great time, but you need to be properly capitalized and you need to be serious about it. And most people, it turns out, are undercapitalized and undercommitted, which is fine. I'm not criticizing them, but it's just not going to work, in my opinion. So I'm more and more focusing on working with people who've got some kind of toehold in the e-commerce world, however tenuous. And I think sort of having $10,000 a month to $25,000 is really a sweet spot where I find I can really help people to clean up and accelerate their businesses. And then if you're doing over $25,000, $30,000, probably more like $40,000 now a month realistically, you may want to consider approaching the masterminds, which are going from strength to strength. People are doing extremely well in the masterminds. We've been running that for just over 3 years now at that sort of level. And it's a great community we've got going, some good practices, which we're going to also fine tune this year and systematize, talking of which. So if you're interested in mentoring one-to-one or you want to explore that, just go to amazingfba.com/mentoring. My suggestion would be that it will take a couple of months to try and get the basics of this stuff in place, working weekly with each other, 1 hour a week on Zoom. And then after that, we can see maybe you just kind of keep it ticking at a more less intensive rate. But I do think there are big wins on the other side of this kind of work. If you want to check out the mastermind, then go to theamazonmastermind.com. Amazingly, Amazon has not taken that down for IP infringement, so I'm going to stick with it for now. And theamazonmastermind.com is where you will find the information about the 10K Collective Mastermind, which we're slightly reorganizing at the moment. Is definitely, at the time of recording, November 2020, going to be online for a substantial period, which brings its challenges, but also brings the opportunity to expand more internationally. So I'll be consciously pushing for people from both the North American and European continents, including the UK, of course. So that's going to be an exciting time to be involved in that. So if you are doing at least $40,000, euros, or say pound equivalent in e-commerce, preferably in Amazon, because that's our main focus, so we can help you the most there, then do check that out. Thank you very much for listening. I hope this is thought-provoking, useful stuff. I believe from experience that it will be, if you really get to grips with this and give yourself a 6 or 12 month window in which to really get this stuff in place, then I think you're giving yourself a real fighting chance of creating a real business that is sustainable and drivable, if you like. I recently had a guest from Global Wired Advisors, Chris Shipfling, was talking about what makes a business sellable and what they specialize in brokering advanced sales and mergers and acquisitions between substantial sized FBA type businesses and other digital businesses and private equity and other such advanced investors. And he said one of the things you've got to have in place is your systems for measuring finances and other KPIs. That's like your rudder to steer with. And I thought that was a really good analogy, because if you don't even know what is happening in your business, you can't really pull any levers because you have no idea what they're attached to. So if you don't even know what your profit is, for example, and a lot of people are in that situation, don't be embarrassed. Get busy, get working, and systematize your finances, which is what we'll talk about in the next podcast in this sort of mini series. But for now, Very many thanks for listening. I appreciate your attention. As ever, if you like this podcast, don't forget to give it a review on Apple Podcasts. You can even just click. You don't even need to give a review. Just click on give it a rating of stars. That really helps us. And of course, whatever your podcast player of choice is, don't forget to subscribe if you haven't already, so you get this stuff delivered every week. Thanks for listening. Today's episode is sponsored by the new e-commerce podcast, The E-commerce Leader. The podcast is hosted by myself and Jason Miles, a multi-million dollar Shopify owner and Udemy's highest rated e-commerce instructor. If you own a thriving online business and want to be the best leader you can, it's got your name on it. For free guides and mini courses on many e-commerce topics, go to theecommerceleader.com.